Good day, and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. President Joe Biden is doubling down on his push to expand and protect voting rights across the country. In fact, Biden said during a speech on Tuesday that he's willing to get rid of the filibuster in the U.S. Senate to achieve those goals. Here's part of what he had to say in Georgia on Tuesday.
I believe that the threat to our democracy is so grave that we must find a way to pass these voting rights bills. Debate them. Vote. Let the majority prevail. And if that bare minimum is blocked, we have no option but to change the Senate rules, including getting rid of the filibuster for this.
Now, this push comes as Republicans continue to push lies about widespread voter fraud that, of course, does not really exist. And they continue to pass state laws across the country that are meant to restrict access to the ballot box. Think back to November of 2020 and the massive, massive turnout in cities like Detroit that helped put President Joe Biden over the top. Republicans are fearful that we will continue to see the expansion of voter rolls and the expansion of people showing up to vote. And we all know when that happens, their party is less likely to win. This all comes just a little over a year since former President Donald Trump and his followers actually tried to stage an insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, which was meant to stop the peaceful transfer of power after that 2020 presidential election. And all of that is just to say the stakes here are really high on both sides. 50 years, more than 50 years after the Voting Rights Act passed in Washington, we are still arguing over who should have the right to vote, how should those rights be protected, and is expansion of the franchise, more people registering, more people showing up to vote, is that a virtue of democracy, as Democrats seem to be saying? Or is that a danger to democracy, which is what a lot of Republicans are saying? Here to talk with us about this renewed effort around voting rights and the possibility that Democrats might end or change the filibuster in the U.S. Senate is one of Michigan's two U.S. senators. Debbie Stabenow is the senior senator here from the state of Michigan. She joins us now to talk about it. Senator Stabenow, Happy New Year, and welcome back to Detroit Today.
Well, Stephen, it's really wonderful to be with you. Happy New Year, and I hope everybody is doing everything they need to do to stay safe. So it's always good to be with you.
Yeah, it's always great to have you here. So let's start with your reaction to what President Biden said on Tuesday. Pretty tough speech. The second pretty tough speech I've heard him make this year, 2022. There's a different tone to this presidency right now. What do you make of it?
Well, I think the president is exactly right. He'll be coming to our caucus today at noon and looking forward to having a chance to talk with him again. I think what you said really needs to be emphasized, and we need to really take a step back in Michigan. The big picture is in 2018, citizens, not elected officials, put on the ballot some changes to actually give us more choices to be able to vote, absentee, even if you're under age 65 or not going to be out of town on election day. And so a number of changes. And in 2020, we used those. And thank goodness, I mean, there was a pandemic, and so more people needed to vote absentee. We used those freedoms that had been voted on by the public in Michigan. And we had an election at the state level. I mean, there were Republican members of Congress who won, Democratic members, local officials, both sides. But Donald Trump lost, and Joe Biden, Kamala Harris won. And this is all about the fact that he didn't want to lose. I mean, it's never fun to lose, right? Mm-hmm. So he's decided every other level of government of the election was accurate, but his. Mm-hmm. And so this started the big lie, and they have... It was horrifying to be here January 6th and to be a part of what was happening, to physically and violently overturn the election, to stop the election. But that's not enough. In every state, including ours, they're trying now to restrict our choices, to take away our freedom to vote. So the action in D.C. that we're in the middle of is to pass national law that sets up standards and enforces those so that individual folks, and in every state it's all Republican, not one Democrat voted for it, not one. And so these are Republican efforts to make it harder to vote, take away your freedom, and to change the election officials, which is already happening in Michigan, so that the folks that certify this will do what Donald Trump and the Republicans want in 2024. So it's not an exaggeration to say this is fundamentally turning our democracy and our Constitution on its head. And it's, you know, regardless. I mean, the folks voted in Virginia just a couple of months ago using the rules that have been used in 2020. Joe Biden won president in Virginia, and then they just elected a Republican governor. I mean, that's the way it works. And if you don't like, you know, that you lost an election, go out and work harder, you know, convince people you ought to be the one they vote for.
Right,
I mean, that's how
votes.
We do it in our country.
Yeah. So I think it is worthwhile because so much of the coverage of this issue is about the struggle over the votes and the argument over the filibuster. I think it's worthwhile to talk just a little bit about what these bills would do. How would they protect voting rights better than what we have now? And how much strength would they add to the Voting Rights Act, which, as I pointed out in the open, is something that we're still trying to fully implement 55 years after it passed in the 1960s. So talk just a little about what these bills are.
Well, the Freedom to Vote Act fundamentally just sets up a structure for voting nationally. And this is something that is, you know, under the Constitution, federal government sets up the rules. And it would make sure, for instance, that if you're requiring photo ID, which is fine, that you have to broadly allow a number of different kinds of photo ID. In the states, in many of the states, for instance, where they're trying to limit folks, they're allowing a hunting license, but not a student ID if you're going to college. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not even subtle. They don't want young people to vote. They didn't like how they voted in the last election. And so, you know, set up standards for what can be used in photo ID and make sure it's fair and it's broad for everyone, making sure that people have the capacity to ask for an absentee ballot to be mailed to them or for a secretary of state or a clerk to be able to send out applications to people, not the ballot, but applications. My mom, who's 95, has been voting absentee for, you know, 30 years or more. Under what they're trying to do in Michigan, I'd have to take her into the clerk's office. She doesn't drive, so she doesn't have a driver's license. So she would have to have a voting ID, go in, verify who she is. After getting the application for 30 years, she'd have to verify it just to get an application, not the ballot. And so the effort. And for seniors, what's happening in Michigan is going to have a huge impact on senior citizens and their capacity to vote. So this sets up national standards. It just makes it fair everywhere. And it also has a provision that regulates and addresses what's called dark money, to disclose all these folks right now who don't, all these businesses, all these dark money groups that can get involved in elections and we don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And it will require transparency and disclosure. So we know who's getting involved in the elections, who's giving the big money, and we can make decisions about that. And so, you know, when we're trying to lower the cost of prescription drugs and Big Pharma comes in to support somebody, they're using what's called dark money, so you don't have to report it. Well, we should know that. We should know who's doing that. And then the other broad thing is the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act really restores what used to be the original Voting Rights Act allowed the Department of Justice the power to go in, if states were doing things like this, to be able to challenge them or stop them. And a number of years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court said, there's not any discrimination anymore. We don't need this. And they eliminated the enforcement. So there's not the watchdog now, even though the Department of Justice knows that these things are going on. And some of these, I mean, it's just amazing to me. In Georgia, you've heard this, but, they're saying if you're standing in line, nobody can give you water or some food.
Right.
And so they create long lines, so there's fewer places to vote, fewer places to drop off your ballot, fewer hours in terms of the voting time. So setting up long lines on purpose and then saying, oh, no, the groups, church groups, other folks, whoever, they want to go out and hand out bottled water because it's August and it's hot. No, that's against the law. Now, how does that make any sense? I mean, that's so blatant about what they're trying to do.
Yes.
They believe right now that they can just do it because unless we modify the rules of the Senate, so we go back to majority rule, not supermajority. Filibuster is a supermajority. If we don't go back to what the founders of the Constitution said was, one person, one vote, majority vote, then right now they got Mitch McConnell protecting them, and they feel very confident that they can do all kinds of things that on the face of it are ridiculous and really outrageous.
Yeah. I'm talking with Senator Debbie Stabenow, a Democrat from here in Michigan, and we're talking about the turn by the Biden administration to focus on renewal, reinvigoration, really, of the Voting Rights Act, an issue that the president talked about during his campaign, and it came up many times last year during his first year in office. He says now that he not only wants this legislation to pass, but that he's willing to get rid of the filibuster, a very old institution in the U.S. Senate, in order to get it passed. That institution requires supermajorities rather than bare majorities to get many kinds of legislation passed in the Senate. Republicans are standing in the way of this voting rights legislation because they oppose the idea of further protections for voters. We want to hear from you during this conversation. Do you think Democrats in Washington are doing the right things to protect voting rights? What do you think of this turn by the Biden administration to really focus on this issue right now? Do you think that we will be able to pass these laws? Do you think we ought to reconsider things like the filibuster in the U.S. Senate as a way to get this legislation into place? Or do you worry about the idea of eliminating the filibuster because that would allow the other party, the Republicans, who are not in power right now, but of course will be someday, it would allow them to do whatever they wanted to do with bare majorities? Are you willing to live with those kind of consequences, or do you think that it's not worth taking that chance? As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to the WDET Facebook page and put comments there, or you can go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we will try to work you into the conversation that way. Senator, before we get to listeners, I do want to give you a chance to talk about the filibuster. This is, an issue that's been around for a long time in terms of people talking about reforming it. First, I want to know whether you support the president's idea to get rid of the filibuster in order to pass this legislation. But I also want to have you talk some about other ideas. And there's a really wonderful Twitter comment here that I'll read. Big Neo says, "What if we return to the verbal filibuster? Elected officials had to stand up for the record and explain their objections and hold the floor for sometimes not just hours but days in order to stop votes on important legislation." Big Neo says, "American citizens need to know what is in their thought process. They also shared definitions are key. We need to speak the same language." So talk about the filibuster, Senator, and what you think about it.
Sure. Well, first of all, Big Neo is absolutely right The whole idea of the filibuster has gotten so warped. Not only is it used now in everything, but, you know, it used to have to stand up on the floor and talk. And as long as you were talking, you could stop things from happening. Or if you and then other colleagues kept talking, you could do that. And it was very clear what you were doing. It was only when that the Senate was trying to figure out, so how do we stop this at some point, that they began to put a number on. Well, if 67 members said they wanted to vote to stop it, you could stop it. And then the number went to 60, which it is right now. But the problem is, you know, I can call into what's called the cloakroom in the Senate and say, I object to a bill, which is essentially a filibuster, and boom. I don't even have to go to the floor to do that. I don't even have to say that I'm doing it. I mean, we're trying to change rules, so at least you have to know who's objecting, and you should have to physically be on the floor. And frankly, you should have to talk. The talking filibuster was what was originally intended. And I think it's important in looking at our history. When has it been used over our history? Because, you know, Hamilton, who we all know a lot about now, was very eloquent about the fact that our Constitution says majority vote, not supermajority. We can't have the tyranny of the minority. People will lose confidence in government if we can't get things done that the majority of people want to have done. And so, but originally it was rarely used. It came about originally under slavery, debating slavery, then civil rights movement, and then it was activated all the time under President Obama. And so what's the connection there? It's always been tied to race. And so here we are again. It's gone farther than that now because they're trying to block everything President Biden's doing and so on. But there's always an element, voting rights. They're willing to change to a 50-vote threshold to be able to deal with the debt ceiling on, you know, the economics of the country, but not on freedom to vote because of what that means in terms of allowing everyone in the country to vote. And it fundamentally comes back over and over again to issues of race. So it's a rule. It's not in the Constitution. Sure. In fact, it goes against the Constitution. So we need to fix it. I'm fine with, let's say you got to talk. And, you know, the other side, we'll set up, you know, but that's what we've been proposing to our colleagues, that you give everybody the opportunity to talk as long as they want. But when you're done, you have a vote, and it's a majority vote.
So I wonder if that would be enough, though, to get what Democrats want here. I mean, if you change the rules that way, do you think this would pass?
Well, if we know we have 50 Democrats plus the vice president who will vote yes. So if we can get to a vote that's a majority, simple majority, we do have the votes to do that. And that's one of the things we're discussing with our Democratic colleagues. I mean, we have 50 Republicans voting no matter what we do.
Right.
And we have two Democrats who don't want to change the 60-vote threshold. So we're discussing, so, okay, let's just keep the filibuster, but go back to the way it was supposed to be, go back to the way it was in the very beginning. And so we'll see. Intense meetings, conversations going on literally almost every minute right now. And if all else fails, we will be voting on Martin Luther King Jr. Day on Monday. And we will see. Yeah. We will see what happens.
Yeah. I want to take one quick call before we have to let you go, Senator. Chris in Berkeley. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to, you know, bring up the idea that it's a bit concerning of a time, and I think, you know, I'm concerned that we're not quite at the point where it's okay to just give over the entire or eliminate the filibuster entirely, considering how gerrymandering is played into this country's makeup. I'm concerned about it being used by the opposite side of politics in a very negative way in a time where, you know, the most wild things are going on in our country.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're seeing this. So I was wondering if, you know, the senator sees a nuanced approach where some things are filibuster, you know, proof and some things are not. So that's what I wanted to interview.
Sure.
Great question,
well,
Chris.
Chris, you raise a really good point that we talk about a lot. And what we're talking about right now is essentially being called a carve-out in some way for fundamental issues that are structural. I mean, your freedom to vote is really not about an issue one way or another. It's fundamental to the democracy. And so, you know, looking at ways to deal with that. I will say this, after working with Mitch McConnell for years, if Mitch wants to change the rules for anything they want to do, he's going to do it anyway.
That's
he did
true.
It for judges last time.
Yes.
The only reason he didn't do it, I think, for legislation is that he likes to keep the filibuster and blame us for them not passing some of the things that are so extreme. You know, he doesn't want to pass them, but he wants to blame us for not passing them. And so I really think, you know, most importantly, this is about fundamental to the democracy. Are we going to let folks not just do gerrymandering, but actually limit people's freedom to vote in a way that we won't be able to take this? We won't be able to have fair elections going forward. But we also need to realize that Mitch McConnell, you know, he has one rationale for holding up Merrick Garland. He has another rationale for Amy Coney Barrett. I mean, he will create whatever rationale he wants at any moment to get what he wants.
Yeah.
And that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Senator Debbie Stabenow, it's always great to have you here with us to talk about these things. And good luck with all this machination in Washington to get a vote on this important voting rights legislation. Thanks
yeah.
for being here.
And may I also say, Stephen, that there are the Republicans are out right now trying to subvert, you know, the governor's vetoes by getting petitions signed that will put all these bad things, you know, in a position where the legislature can pass them without the governor's veto. Please don't sign it. If these folks are out there talking about the only thing out there on petition right now are things that would take away your freedom to vote.
Yeah.
And so no matter what somebody says right now, please don't sign these petitions.
That's right. And always, if somebody comes up to you and asks you to sign a petition, read it. Read it really carefully before you sign or decide not to sign. I mean, I think don't take somebody's word for what it says.
Exactly.
Look at what it says.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Always great to be with you.
Yes, great to have you here as well. Up next, we are going to hear about a new book that tells the story of a group of libertarians who sought to create a small government-free utopia and how it was all foiled by bears. Stay with us for more Detroit Today.